it deviated from the manga, like, in the second episode or something, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the manga.
But the,
Watched manga, read the manga. I watched the show.
The show was still good. But I think the manga was better.
I mean, and as with most things, the written literature is often better than the TV shows.
Yeah.
Though that's my opinion. But that's just, like, a me thing. My... I guess recent reads have not been fiction books. I've been reading a lot more poetry lately. I'm taking a poetry workshop right now, so it's kind of been one way to get myself inspired and also continue to explore what kind of styles work best with how I write and just get inspiration. So I've been reading a few of those. I did start a book in August. It's called The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri. And it's like the third time I've started it. It's not a bad book. It is such a good book. It's not a very plot-heavy and, like, action-packed book, which is why I take it at a slower pace. And for me, it's something that hits closer to home because it is about, like, an immigrant family that comes to the United States and, like, raising a child and how that child straddles, like, the values between, like, an Indian society for me and, like, the American society, right? And so, like, there's a lot of depth of concepts to think about, too, so I like taking my time to read and just thinking about, you know, what's happening to the character and how that's going to inform, like, how they grow and mature, right? And so it just takes me longer to get through a book like that, just because there's a lot more I want to think about there. It's not a back book by any means, it's just by the time I remember to pick it up again, and by the time I have enough brain cells and time to dedicate to really sitting down and, like, sitting with the content, it's just been too long since I've read it, and I want to, like, refresh myself. But it's a really good book. I recommend anything by Jhumpa Lahiri. I love her style. It's very, feels very authentic and, like, homey, like, very homely, I guess. Not, like, homey, like a buddy, but, like, very, like, comfortable and casual. Anyway, I can keep going about books, but I feel like if anyone else has any other good books that you've been maybe reading or have read, I would love to hear about them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently reading Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, which this is one of the cases where I actually watched the TV series Good Omens before I read the book. But, of course, like, the story is the same, you know, the characters are similar, but it's obvious how the director, and forgive me, I don't actually know who directed the TV show, definitely highlighted certain aspects of the story and the characters, whereas the book takes a lot more of, like, a wide perspective, flat view of everything. And that's not to say that there's not, like, emotion or depth in the characters in the book. It's just that there's so many different situations going on in the book, and the book treats them all with equal importance, whereas with the TV show, it was very obvious and doubled down who the main characters were. So that was a little bit different between the book and the movie, but yeah, it's a good book. Good Omens.
Noted.
Yeah, I guess for me, my recent reads are all, like, non-fictions. Currently I'm reading this book called Moonshot, and it's written by the CEO of Pfizer, and just on how the development of the COVID vaccine happened. Like, this is kind of, like, my own thing, because I'm, like, more like a biochemist, and I kind of like to read, like, those, like, nonfiction that's related to science. But yeah, it's really interesting, like, because so the CEO, I can't remember his name, I'm terrible at remembering the name, but basically he took the name Moonshot because that was from President Kennedy's speech of going to the moon, and they developed the vaccine within 8 months, as opposed to usually 8 years at least. And so it's a bit about, like, how, so he also, like, just became the CEO of Pfizer at, like, the start, like, at around the start of 2020. And then, you know, it was a really, so he was, like, quickly had to adapt to this, like, new mode of company operation, and also, like, you know, this huge project, not knowing what it might result in, But yeah, it's really interesting to look at it. And if you're interested in, like, the more, like, science and, like, pharmaceutical kind of books, I also really like the book HER2, which talked about the make of a breast cancer drug, Herceptin. And another book is called Gene Tech, and it's basically the founding of a really... it's almost like the first, like, big biotechnology company, just Gene Tech. And, yeah, it's just, like, kind of brings science more into life to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The books that I really enjoy in science are the ones that can, like, find a story or narrative but still give you enough scientific content. Because I feel like for us, we're very biased towards having solid science to rely on, right? Yeah. So those kind of books are really good. I read two in high school, and the names of them are escaping me now. But one of them was an evolution book, and it tracked this fossil hunter as he was collecting different fossils and simultaneously talked about the evolution of species. So I thought it was a very interesting blend of things. And the second one was about the surgeon. Surgeon's first name was John. I don't remember his last name, but he was a surgeon way back as surgery was becoming a new thing. And he applied a very scientific approach to it and basically mapped out, like, where all, a lot of, like, blood vessels and veins are by, like, injecting them with wax and whatnot. And so it was talking about, like, the experimental process of defining anatomy while also being a surgeon and, like, dealing with patients and his history and all that. I don't remember what the title of it is, which is so sad. It has a black cover. But I don't remember. Helpful. Yeah, I don't remember what the actual title is.
Very important question with that. Is this before or after they figured out that they needed to wash their hands in between patients?
This was, like, before that.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love that.
This was before. He basically, I guess more context to this guy. He was the one that came up with the surgical procedure for, like, aneurysms and was able to figure out why an aneurysm will impact your heart and how to, like, fix that. But if that helps you place who the guy is, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. This was three or four years ago for me now, so it was a while ago. They're still on my bookshelf, though. The other one had a white cover with, like, a green little lizard on the front.
Yeah, I read a bunch of scientific books for my environmental classes, stuff about pollution and the different industries that contributed to different pollutants, specifically in America, but also worldwide. I mean, that's all, like, sad stuff. Like, yeah, there are three, like, really, really great books. Our Stolen Future is one of them, about the chemical industry and pollution and health effects and environmental impacts. But one of the more positive books I read, I still don't remember the name of it, but it kind of was a biography, but instead of being a biography of a person... it was the biography of this research project. So if you've ever seen, like, a scientific journal paper, you know that it's very dense, you know that it's very dry. You know, you do have to have some sort of a story to convey why this research is important, but you don't really have a story of how you went to the lab every day to do the synthesis, or you went out into the community and you took this poll. You know, that sort of information isn't in the journal paper that you submit. For peer review. But this book that I read was basically about this young woman scientist who did a survey in Alaska about people and how the people there, the natives and the people who live there in this remote place in Alaska, how they thought about themselves and nature. And how they thought about the current, like, land management there for their natural spaces. So it just provided a lot more depth and a lot more meaning to the paper, because just from reading the paper, you don't realize, like, all the stories that she heard and all of the risky plane rides and boat rides that she took to Alaska in the middle of winter and everything that she went through. So it just... kind of shows the more human side to science, and it's something that I think us scientists are trained to sort of push to the side and just write the paper, but our personal accounts of the research is also important to inform and inspire other budding scientists. So
yeah, I really like the idea. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is, when we're in grad school, for those of us that are going to grad school, once we write a paper, we have to publish a book at the same time.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's gonna take a while, but
yeah. I mean, my goal is to have something published in writing at some point in my life. Probably gonna be poetry that I write, but I do want to have a book out there someday.
Speaking of publishing, did I ever tell you guys about my editorial got picked for New York Times when I was in high school?
What? You told me about this, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard about this.
Yeah. And it's on politics. Mm. It's about Trump building the wall. And I was like, I don't know how I got it. And just, yeah, that's my early publication, I guess.
Wow, that's so cool.
So if you go on New York Times and you look my name up, you'll see my...
Wow.
Good to know.
Well, I guess that concludes this week of Good Time and Bad Decisions.
There's no bad decisions this week. No, it's so sad. Like, okay, I feel like it's because I was in quarantine for a bit over fall break and stuff that I just didn't have the chance to make bad decisions and embarrass myself publicly.
I mean, I make bad decisions on the daily when I stay up until 2 and have to wake up at 8 for class, so.
I mean, I felt that. I think we also made bad decisions Friday evening.
No, we didn't make bad decisions. They were reasonable decisions. Yeah, they weren't bad.
Bad at the end, but.
Yeah, I made a little bit of a bad decision. No, yeah. Okay, listen. Felicia has my location. It was all fine.
Okay. Okay, anyway. All right, that's a wrap for this episode.
Woo! Woo! Episode 7, right?
Go do some reading. Go watch some television. Take a break from homework if you're a student. Go live and enjoy other things in life.
Yes, it's Friday.
I'll see you next week. Bye.
Oh, I'm doing the...
Yes.
Wow.
I did a conclusion today.
I need to mentally prepare myself. Can you just say... Bye again. Does that convince me to prepare myself?
Alright, that's it. We'll see you next week.
Yeet! No, that was lit. I didn't like that.
wishing I was on the road. You tip me off that Glasgow could be the place to go. I said to you yes, but I probably won't. You used to write to me, baby.
That was Glasgow by Jockstrap, just from the album I Love You, Jennifer B, just released a couple weeks ago. And the song before it was Seismic by Meirathi from the album Gonjon Dorak. And next up you hear Lewis Takes Off His Shirt by Owen Pallett from the album Heartland. Thank you.
odds against an adolescent, standing up to all of a wind's wrath. The heat of prairie summer is impossible to retain. I grab the hem and lift the fabric over my sweet head. I know what you're looking for, and I'm never gonna give it to you. I don't know what I'm doing, and it is the only way to ward the rage on rising.
Here on WCD, there are also other shows for you to enjoy. You can hear Circadian Rhythms, A Waking Nightmare, Sunday at 5 on WCT, or Top Secret International. Bring your security clearance for these top secret tracks. Listen to Top Secret International Tuesday at 5 until 6 p.m. on WCT Pittsburgh.
You are all that I have, fire of fire.
That was Vesuvius by Sufjan Stevens from the album The Age of Ants. And the song before that was Lewis Takes Off His Shirt by Owen Pallett from Heartland. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Stereo Sushi on WCD 88.3, and today's theme is Folktronica. And next song I'm going to play is called Smells Like Content by The Books from the album Lost and Save.
Balance, repetition, composition, mirrors.
Most of all, the world is a place where parts of holes are described within an overarching paradigm of clarity and accuracy. The context of which makes possible an underlying sense of the way it all fits together, despite our collective tendency not to conceive of it as such. But then again, the world without end is a place where souls are combined, but with an overbearing feeling of disparity, disorderliness. To ignore it is impossible without getting oneself in all kinds of trouble, despite one's best intentions not to get entangled with it so much. Meanwhile, the statues are bleeding green, and others are saying much better than we ever could, as the quiet becomes suddenly verbose, and the hell is heralding the size of nickels, and the street corners are gnashing together like the gears inside of the head of some omniscient engineer, and downward flows the garnered wisdom that has never died. Possibilities, contingencies, but with ever-increasing faith, we decided to go ahead and just ignore them, despite tremendous pressure to capitulate and fade. So instead, we went ahead to fabricate a catalogue of unstable elements, modicums and particles with non-zero total strangeness for brief moments, which amount to nothing more than tiny fragments of a finger's cell. Started tearing along its creases due to overuse, when in reality it's never needed folds, and the air is withholding the sound of its wellspring, and our heads are approaching a density reminiscent of the infinite connectivity of the center of the sun, and therein lies the garnered wisdom that has never died.
Expectation leads to disappointment. If you don't expect something big, huge, and exciting, you usually
Do you ride a bicycle? Do you want a safer streets? Respect from motorists and bicycle infrastructure improvements. Bike Pittsburgh is a nonprofit organization working on improving the conditions on the streets and the amenities of the street, making Pittsburgh a more bicycle-friendly city. Find out about Bike Pittsburgh's program on the web, bike-pgh.org, or phone at 412-325-4334, or start by your local bike shop and pick up a brochure.
Yeah.
That was Marjorie Melody by Stereolab from the album Marjorie Clips. And yeah, we have gone back in time a bit in the 2000s. And the next up, you're going to hear two Japanese songs and also pretty old ones. And the next up is Starfruit Surfrider from Cornelius from Phantasma. Thank you. Attic Records joins you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing you used records and CDs. From metal to reggae, hip-hop, and doo-wop, and all stops in between, Attic Records has the hottest new releases and all the music you want. Family-owned and operated, Attic Records pays for quality used records and CDs, with no collection too big or small. You can visit Attic Records today or call them at 412-821-8484 and get the music you need. If you're interested in underwriting for WCT, you can email PR@WCT for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. That was Owari no Kisetsu by Reikar Harakami. It's a cover of the old Harumi Hosono song. It's from the album Lust. And next up we have the old Animal Collective, AV Terror and Panda Bear with Chocolate Girl from Spirits Have Gone, Spirits That Are Vanished. I'm
till she could kick and scream and play until she wanted to. We'll be right back.
That was Chocolate Girl. And we're going to go some to Bing Cuts, but before we have a public service announcement. Whether you're a young pup or a seasoned hound, there's a class for every interest in Animal Friends University. Animal Friends you can take a class for, or even with a pet. They offer summer camp for kids, cat massage classes, canine behavior training, and so much more. Visit your catalog online, www.thinkingoutsidethecage.org.
Let me fall first, give me your hand.
that was some Ben Cutts. Happiness by Thick, and the song before was Fall First by Santi Gode. And the last song of the hour, we have Halder by Black Country Road. And that is that. All from me. Thanks for listening.
I never wanted you to see that much.